Hey, everybody, it's Maylee Thomas with Texas Homegrown Music, and it's time for another show. And I'm really excited about this guest today because she is such a delightful gal. She's from the Quaby Sisters. Her name is Hulda Quaby, and she has got a journey to talk about with us that's been started since she was just 13 years old. Actually, I think she might have been 10 when she picked up the fiddle. Violin, I might say, because she started out playing violin, and I just realized that they now call it the Texas-style fiddle playing, and I think you're going to love them. I know that there's a lot of people out there that probably already know who they are because they've been around for a little while, but for me, it's a new group and a new find, and I just love this part of my job, getting to know these people like this. But before we do, I'm going to do a song off one of my latest records. Actually, it's an older record. It's called Yeah, Yeah, Yeah. And when you hear the song, you're going to realize why I picked it, because there's just so much talking going on in the world right now, and especially in our country. We've got an election coming up soon, and I'm personally kind of ready for people to walk the walk instead of just talking the talk all the time. But I'm not going to get political on you, because that's not who I am. I'm just an old hippie chick from Texas that loves life, and I want to help other people to love life as well. So let's just have a little bit of fun with this song, and then when we come back, I'll have Hulda Quaby with me.
Your lips move and I can hear you talking. It's a hollow sound like a bullhorn squawking. It's all about you, don't you get bored? Don't you ever get tired of hearing your own voice? Sure, sometimes it's a bad mood too, but I slap myself. Hey, how about you? I was thinking you could use a good slapping too. Hey, how about now? Everybody said yeah.
Texas Homegrown Music, and I've got one of the Quaby sisters with me, Hulda. And so, Hulda, let me just preface this by saying that I literally just heard about you guys probably 3 or 4 weeks ago. And so in my research, I actually listened to an interview that you guys did with someone from the UK. I don't know if you remember this, but it was a really long interview and it was very interesting. It was all three of you. And so I got a little bit of history about you, but I want you to share it with our listening audience, because I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that already know who you are. If they're in the Western swing world. But there's, I know a lot of people out there that don't, that are going to be interested in hearing about the Quebe sisters. So I want to just turn it over to Hulda and let her tell everybody about her and her sisters and what it is that you do and how you got started.
Yeah, well, it makes me laugh to think about what we would have possibly said in an interview in Europe. I think when we toured Europe, that was, I don't know, 2010. So 10 years ago?
I don't know, but it was it was really cute. I don't think it was that old. And I think it was actually by way of Zoom. So it was a video. It was a video interview.
Oh, okay. I know what interview you're talking about.
Yeah, so it wasn't that long ago.
That was a long interview.
It was a long interview, wasn't it? I kept looking to see, well, how long is this going to go? And it just kept going. So I kept playing. I ended up doing some things and listening to it in the background.
Nice.
But it was really interesting. And you girls have such a great energy between one another, and I thought it was so cute how that he'd ask a question, you'd all look at each other, and it was like one of you'd say, all right, well, I'll take it.
We always do that. We always stumble over each other in interviews. We're like, oh wait, which one of us is going to start talking now?
Well, it's but just you today, so you can talk for all three of you.
Yes. Well, I'm the youngest of the three sisters. My name is Hulda, and my two older sisters are Sophia and Grace, and we have been playing music since we were, you know, fairly young. We started out playing Texas style fiddling, which is kind of a, you know, it's a cousin of bluegrass. It's a cousin of Irish, Scottish fiddling. And, you know, you hear Western swing, and it's kind of a Texas style fiddling is kind of a conglomeration of different styles, and you hear it influence into Western swing. So, whenever we started out playing, we did the whole fiddle contest thing when we were younger, and did the state contest and the national and all that stuff. And then I think just us, we all started at the same time playing music.
Okay, that's interesting. How old were you all?
So I was 7 and Grace was, Sophia, 7, 8, 9, 10. Sophia's 3 years older than me, so she was 10. And Grace was about 11 or 12. So I think she was 12. We actually all started on the same day, which is a little unusual. So most siblings, you know, the oldest starts and then so on. So I think because we all started playing music at the same time, we were all working on the same things. And so it kind of progressed for us. I think that's why we started playing together and started working out arrangements and songs and stuff like that. And so our first little album that we made was an all instrumental album. We did not start out singing, which most people.
I know. I heard the interview. And in fact, I want us to talk about that, but keep going, because it's an interesting little journey how you guys ended up doing all that.
Yeah. Our mom really just wanted us, I think, to play. We started out playing a tiny bit of classical music.
Right.
And I still really love and appreciate classical, but we just, our teacher was very open-minded, and she was like, oh, hey, there's a fiddle contest. Y'all should, you know, maybe learn some fiddle tunes. And like, we got this little fiddle book, and then we went to this contest and we were like, whoa, there's kids our age playing. And I remember seeing a girl my exact age, and she was just playing the heck out of her fiddle. And I was like, whoa, that looks really cool. And so we started taking fiddle lessons, and then our fiddle teacher.
So what was the difference? Because I think you guys started out doing some classical, and violin, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we started out with the Suzuki method.
That's what I thought.
Anybody that, you know, Suzuki method is wonderful because it teaches you ear training. It kind of teaches you how to read music, which unfortunately we all kind of dropped the music reading thing.
It just started playing by ear?
Yeah, really, because in Texas style fiddling and Western swing and most of all the genres we play now, except for jazz, it's really not, they're not really written down. It's an oral tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you just sit across from someone or you listen to a record or you put a tape on. You know, we grew up in the age where people use cassette tape.
So you guys started doing the contest, mm-hmm. and you recognized different styles. And what were you moved towards that more then? Was that just, did you guys leave those places and go, wow, this is what we want to do?
Our teachers were really kind of the one, I think, and our mom too, you know, I don't like to use the word discipline, but she gave us structure when it came to practicing. She was like, well, you know, if you're going to play fiddle, then we're going to practice every day. And it was a routine. It was something that we did. And, it was really fun.
Yeah.
We learned a lot, and, I didn't really enjoy the competing element of playing music, looking back, you know, and I'm glad I did it. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad I did it, but it's not, I kind of have the opinion that you can't really compete at art because there's an element of it that's just personal subjection and taste.
Yeah.
But you know, you learn a lot when you have to practice that much.
Yeah.
In the contest. So we definitely put in our hours when we were younger.
Well, you put in your 10,000 hours.
No, I have no idea. I'm even sure. Want to say that. But then when we started playing together and working on arrangements and working on harmonies and things like that. And we ended up meeting Ricky Skaggs, who, you know, everybody.
That's a good little connection.
Yeah. Super amazing musician. And this is when we grew up in Crum, Texas, and then we moved to Burleson for quite a while, which people know Burleson because Kelly Clarkson is from Burleson.
Right.
And she's actually really sweet. We met her.
Oh, good.
And I was like, we're from Burleson. And
I should probably love for y'all to play something on some of her stuff.
Yeah, it would be fun to play her show. One of these days we should do that.
You should do it. Just reach out. She's a very personable person from what I hear.
She is. And we reached out to her. And she, one of these days, I think it'll happen.
Yeah, you should do it.
Yeah, pandemic kind of.
Yeah, I know it's kind of slowed a lot of that stuff down. But
yeah, we're hoping maybe our next album we can do our next one that we're working on right now. So
right.
Anyways,
you were from Crum and you met Ricky Skaggs. And so tell me what that did. What doors did that open for you?
That opened a lot of doors for us. Ricky was really incredible. And he was the first person that told us that we should start singing. He was like, okay, hey, y'all can fiddle, but you know, you should sing. And of course we scoffed at that inwardly. Of course we didn't say that out loud. We were like, okay, thank you. But we were like, heck no. But then we went home and we were like, well, there's not a lot of super successful all instrumental bands.
right.
So we tried our hand at singing, and that was 2005 is when we started singing on our live little shows that we would do around. And that's really when things kind of started taking off for us. And we started traveling outside of Texas and Oklahoma and going all over the United States and started doing festivals and stuff like that. And then a couple years later, we made an album with vocals. And we got to record that at Cash Cabin Studios, Johnny Cash's
place,
which was really awesome. And then for us, the last couple of years, we've been really taking our music. And our last album that we released in 2019 was had a lot of evolution to it, if you will, for our band.
I know, and we're going to get to that in a minute because we're going to talk about how what was different about that. But tell me a little bit about the whole journey from going from instrumental to singing, because from what I understood from the interview is you guys actually got some training from some pretty incredible singing coaches.
We've been really fortunate. So living in North Texas, this all got started with our bass player, Drew Phelps. Love that guy. So cool. He was in our band for years and years. And he was like, hey, you know, y'all should take some lessons, vocal lessons from Rosanna Eckert, who is one of the head jazz vocal teachers at the University of North Texas.
Okay.
And, you know, very well-known jazz music program and just great teachers there. And so we went and started taking some lessons from her. And I mean, I still have so much to learn, honestly, but she teaches from the standpoint of like a speech level singing technique. The moment I say that, I start coughing.
Yeah.
But she is an incredible vocalist. And then we had the opportunity also of getting to take a private lesson with Seth Riggs, who is the jazz vocal teacher for Michael Jackson.
Right.
And, you know, one of the best living musicians ever. So, you know, personal side of that aside,
right.
You know, incredible singer. And so that was an incredible, incredible experience. I never thought that I could learn so much in a single hour of a lesson, but you know, we got to record it and go to his actual studio and learn from him. And then we took all of that and we went back to Rosanna and worked on things. And it's still an evolution process for us and learning.
Well, it always is. Even,
yeah.
Even for me, I've been singing, you know, for decades. But
exactly.
So let me ask you a question, though. Give me a few things that really got you on, it surprised you that they taught you that you think about whenever you approach singing. Is there any one or two things that they've said to you that, you know, that have really stuck with you every time you go to sing a song or approach your, you know?
Oh, exactly. The voice is really interesting, and I hope I don't butcher this and it kind of explaining it, but it is, I think, something that I learned that I'm really glad that I learned is that you can't practice the voice the same way that you practice an instrument. But in the way that there are limitations, it's an actual live instrument, you know, so you have to take care of yourself
right.
The same way. And it is the same way when you play an instrument. You can't strain, you can't have bad technique, because if you want longevity, if you want to be able to sing for 6 hours or play for 8 hours a day, you have to work on the basics.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's the voice. You can sing any style you want. You don't have to be limited to one style,
mm-hmm.
which is something that was kind of something that I thought, that you're either a country singer or you're a jazz singer or you can sing pop. And none of that's not true.
Don't you think we've had a lot of artists that have totally annihilated that whole?
Yes, attitude. We totally have.
Yeah.
But I think some of the commercialization in the industry has made people feel like they have to be in boxes.
Well, but you don't, but that's on us, because,
yeah.
You know, it always bothers me when people try to put me in a box, because mm-hmm. they'll say, what's your favorite kind of music? Or what's your favorite song? Or what's your, and I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, there is
have a favorite song or a favorite kind of music. I like so much of it.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's like telling an artist, what's your favorite color?
Yeah, you know? Exactly. I think the things that I'd really have taken away are really the basics that they taught, like breathing, learning how to work. And I'm still working on this, like connect your head voice to your chest voice, the vocal mixes, learning what your range is, how to sing right. Where you don't strain your voice. Oh my gosh. When we started out singing, our breath technique was terrible. I mean, sometimes I would sing so high and then it was like, oh, I'm seeing stars right now. And it's like, you're trashing your voice every night.
Well, and the most important thing about having to get rest and get some sleep. So when we come back, we're gonna come back and talk a little bit more about that. But I want to do a song right now off your new, and I'm gonna say your newest record that you released last year, and it's a beautiful song called "Summer of Roses."
Oh,
and yeah, and this is gonna just capture the audience right off the bat when you hear this. The flow of these three voices together is so beautiful, and it just draws you in, and you're just going to be mesmerized at these girls. So I can't wait to share it with you. So I'm going to play that for you right now. And then when we come back, we're going to talk some more with Hulda about Grace and Sophia and the Quibi sisters. And I'm so glad to have you here today, but we'll be right back. This
Thank
is Texas
you.
Homegrown Music with Maylee Thomas, and I've got Hulda from the Quibi sisters.
A short time I have to be with you, my love, but a short time is better than no time, you see. So I bring to you all my possessions, and would that you share them with one springtime of robins. One springtime of robins to see. And I bring you one summer of roses. One summer of roses I bring. I bring you one autumn of dry leaves. Dry leaves will be helpful, you know, to soften.
Creepy Sisters, and I'm really enjoying getting to know you, Hulda, and getting to know the history behind you guys. And I'm so excited about the fact that you guys have transformed yourselves into a group that was doing instrumental songs, which is great. We all love instrumental music, but we also know that when you add singing to it, you've opened up yourselves to a much wider audience, mm-hmm. obviously. So you guys obviously saw that. You saw that, open up doors for you. I think you said Ricky Skaggs is the one that asked you guys to start singing.
Yeah,
and so you had some great training from some different teachers from North Texas and from LA area and all over the world. So we're really happy about that on your journey. And then I think the other big step was that you guys were doing Western swing songs and probably a little bit of bluegrass and you know, doing other people's material for a long time. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden you saw the desire to start writing your own music, and you put out a record in 2019 with some of your own stuff on it.
Yeah. Oh man. We're so excited about that record. And you know,
how that changed for you guys. Cause I know for me as a singer songwriter that sang other people's music for so long. And every time I sang a song that I had written or had co-written, it meant so much to see people enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, going back to what you were talking about, like the transition of going from singing, you just being an instrumental band to singing. Ricky was so, when it was so cool and it was so interesting how he approached that with us, you know, he was like, hey, I'm going to help y'all out. I want to invite y'all to come play the Grand Ole Opry. He invited us to play the Opry when we were still an instrumental band. So he helped, you know, helped us get more connected with people in Nashville. And, you know, we got connected with radio stations and we went and played the Opry. I was 13 years old. It was nuts.
Wow.
I literally just yesterday, I pulled out a family photo album and I was like looking through the Opry pictures and I was like, I met all of these cool musicians that are, you know, all since passed now.
Right.
So he was so kind to us, you know, before, and we weren't, you know, professional band at that point. We were just working on music, but we were playing a lot of gigs. And yeah. Then we, you know, we worked for a year on singing and we didn't sing in front of anybody except our mom heard us a little bit, but she worked during the day. So we would be rehearsing during the day. And our guitar player at the time was our music teacher. And so we would work with him. And
was it a big surprise for everybody the first time you guys actually sang at
it all? Was because we were hired to play this festival and they thought they had hired us just to do just to be an instrumental band. And we went out and we started singing and we had like we set up like a PA system and like practice over mics and like how do you sing over a mic?
Right. There's technique to it,
which that's another thing that we learned. I learned a lot from Rosanna talking to her about that stuff, and there's so many great resources online for how to sing over mic. Anyways, I digress.
No, that's okay. It's important for people to hear that.
Yeah, it that is a skill in and of itself. Learning what you need out of a monitor, learning the sound of the room. But we've really changed our configuration on stage. We stand a lot closer now, and we've worked our stage setup to where we feel as comfortable as we do. We try to feel as comfortable as we do when we're rehearsing as we do on stage. Okay. So that we can take that feel, that vibe that we have amongst each other and bring it on stage, because the more comfortable we are, the more comfortable we'll make our audience as well.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the logic that we have.
Well, that's the truth. So what was that like the first time you guys played out and saw the reaction?
Oh, it was extremely humbling. It was, of course, terrifying. But we had really put the work in to practice. And so we were, you know, prepared as we could have been, especially for our age. And the reaction was wonderful. And the audience is, you know, just, they really kind of lost it. They were just like, whoa. And it was so amazing. And it really, really encouraged us.
Well, let me ask you this. This is a musician question.
Yeah.
So did it change anything about the way you played? Because, you know, it's one thing to play an instrument and put all of your thought process into playing that instrument. But when you start playing two instruments, and that's what you're doing, you're singing and playing, did you feel a little disconnect at all, or did it just fall right in place?
When it did, there was the amount of work that it takes, you know, to quote master something or get good at something. So where you feel like you can do it on stage. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't call our early years of singing, you know, good, because whose are, but that, I don't know. It was double the amount of work. You know, you have to put in just as much effort.
But, I mean, did you feel like immediately when you started singing and playing, did you feel a connection between your voice and your instrument where you felt
absolutely
comfortable with it? And, you know, okay, I can do this. I can play this and sing this at the same time without any kind of.
I think with vocally, when we got started, we did have a leg up because we understood harmony. We understood. And also the violin, the way it's laid out with the fingering and the tones of it really match a female voice.
Absolutely.
Honestly, because most of the time, like the lowest, if my voice is set really low one day, I can sing like an E on the guitar. Mm-hmm. A basic tuning on the guitar. Mm-hmm. But most of the time with me, my lowest note is an open G on the fiddle. Mm-hmm. So, or, you know, maybe an F on a, but that's really kind of where the female voice sits a lot. And especially with ours, none of us are very extremely low singers. Our voices have, of course, stretched over the years, which is interesting because I actually started out singing high harmony. Okay. Because I'm the youngest, and which is funny because as we've all matured and we're now adults,
your voice has changed a little bit.
Our voices have changed. And my oldest sister's voice, her speaking voice, this is something that we've learned through speech level singing, is that her natural speaking voice is much higher than mine. And so we're in the process of switching parts.
Okay.
And so she wants to sing more of the high harmony. And I actually kind of prefer singing low harmony.
Okay. You feel that that's more in your lane.
Mm-hmm. We used to, especially when we started out singing, like our first album that we recorded at Cash Cabin with vocals, we did only the same with charm, you know, lead in the middle, second part, third on the bottom. And that's what we did. And that was more like, I think that's why a lot of people have said, you know, y'all sound kind of like a Western version of the Andrews Sisters, which, you know, is a very sweet compliment, but we actually never listened to the Andrews Sisters that much. I mean, I think they've never been big influences on us, right. Which is no slight.
Well, you know, a lot of times when people hear those really tight, close mm-hmm. harmonies, and especially the style of music that you're doing, they're going to automatically try to throw you into the genre of someone. And a lot of times you're going, are you kidding me?
Because we're three girls and we're sisters and all that jazz.
Yeah,
but we listen to, so our teachers were the ones that since we were into fiddling and in the tradition of Western swing, when we started doing all the arrangements and stuff, you see triple fiddles. Well, hello, here we are, three sisters that play triple fiddles, and we're from Texas. So, of course, we're going to learn all the Western swing repertoire. Mm-hmm. And then we got into the Mills Brothers, Marty Robbins, and his two backup vocal guys, which it's embarrassing, but I cannot remember their names right now.
Okay.
And then the Sons of the Pioneers, which everybody,
that's probably more the Sons of the Pioneers is probably more of what you would be compared to in today's world.
But yeah, especially our earlier years of recording, especially the way that we did harmonies and stuff. And because it kind of feels like the best way I can describe the Sons of the Pioneers. It's like if gypsy jazz meets like kind of really jazzy Western tunes.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, tell me, I've got a few minutes left here. Tell me about the jump from you singing other people's music, and then all of a sudden you guys start writing your own.
Yeah.
Who was the one that stepped out and said, "We got to do this"?
Well, it's been a little over 5 years now. We kind of shook some things up in our group, and we were working with our former teacher, and he was doing the arranging and kind of picking the music and directing things, but he didn't want to tour as much. And we at that point, we were all in our early 20s, and we were like, we're ready to do the road life. We are ready to go and really see if we can make this thing work. And we wanted to, you know, be on the road and live the van life and, you know, put in the hours to really, because you got to tour these days to make money. That's what you got to do as a musician.
Yep.
And so we parted ways with him. And through that, we really wanted to branch into different styles. It really started for us in exploring new ways of arranging. So when it came to deconstructing our harmonies, where our stuff sits, picking different styles of songs, listening to different styles of music, listening to styles of music and really studying them very, very deeply. Because we've always listened to a very wide variety of music, but we were really just playing a lot more of the Western swing kind of sound. And for us, Western swing is really a conglomeration of Western music, fiddling, jazz. And it's so heavily influenced by jazz. People do not realize that, but it's insane. It's just, Bob Wills didn't want to call it Western swing. He wanted to call it Western jazz, which is exactly what it is. And we started exploring the harmonics of like taking steel guitar harmonies and deconstructing those and playing that on fiddle. And also with writing songs, Sophia, our middle sister, was the first one that started really exploring writing stuff. And actually the song that you played earlier, Summer of Roses, is one of the first. She just had this I call it just kind of a genius moment for her, where she just heard that whole middle fiddle arrangement with all the different moving harmonies. And she heard this fiddle player, he put out this really cool Christmas record of all things. His name is Billy Contreras, and he was doing some really cool sounding harmonies, and that inspired her. And she wrote that whole fiddle part, came into rehearsal one day and said, and we're all like insane Willie Nelson fans. So any Willie Nelson, he just has the best chords and the best lyrics.
Well, and you know, his son Lucas is pretty.
I love Lucas. Such a sweetheart.
I'm a huge fan of both of them. But
we worked a cruise with him a couple years back and got to hang out with him a lot.
Yeah, he's yeah.
We still have a standing joke that we're going to go play laser tag together.
Good for you. I'll take some pictures and send it to me, would you?
I know, right? Who knows if that'll ever happen? He lives in Hawaii right now, so.
Yeah, well, he's a great musician. But yeah, you can hear all different kinds of genres. And Willie Nelson is a perfect example of somebody that's got their own style, but they certainly have branched out and sung lots of songs from blues to jazz to pop to rock. Insane. So yeah, so you don't have to put yourself in a box. Just ask Willie.
Yeah, but you do have to find your sound, and that's a lot for us. What our new album?
You're definitely doing that.
We're on our way. We feel like we're on our way. That album, the one we released in 2019, was a big step for us in really trying to find our adult. Like, we're not a kid band anymore. We're not kids. We want to make our own musical statement, but at the same time, do it where it's like really moves people, which is what the originators of the styles that we draw from, that's what they did. They really just wanted to connect with people through music.
Well, we're going to play Always Seem to Get Things Wrong.
Oh, yeah. Jesse Harris.
Yeah.
Great songwriter. He wrote for Norah Jones, and he's great songwriter.
You did a great version of that song.
Thank you. That was not a Western swing kind of sounding song, but we really wanted to, and we attempted to give it more of a swing feel. And that was a fun tune to arrange.
Well, and then we're going to come back and you guys are going to do My Love, My Life, My Friend.
Mm-hmm. An original by Sophia.
There you go. And I want you to talk about that. So we'll be right back with Huldah from the Queeby Sisters.
Bit too long for you to come along with me. I thought I'd kiss your lips. Now the sky's dark, the moon's eclipsed, and what I missed is all I can see. Now I'm stuck looking back at where I lost the thread.
So we're back with Huldis Quibi from the Quibi Sisters, and you guys just heard their rendition of Always Seem to Get Things Wrong. But I'm looking forward to another one of your originals that we're getting ready to play called My Love, My Life, My Friend. And tell me about that. I think you told me Sophia brought that to the table, and you guys did.
She wrote that song, and it really started out as... This is what was fun. Us being really new at songwriting, any kind of scrap of idea or a lyric or a verse or anything, we would just bring it to rehearsal and be like, what do y'all think? Is this trash or is this good?
And then you had the other two to listen to.
Oh, yes. There's always, we're like a sibling group here, so there's always lots of opinions flying around.
I can imagine.
It's very fun and entertaining. But Sophia played it for us, and it was just a little country tune, very kind of simple, kind of felt almost Merle Haggard-ish and just a basic country song. And then I thought about it. And then a day later I came back and I was like, Sophia, why didn't you turn that into a country shuffle? Because of course we love Ray Price and Farron Young and all those guys and Tommy Jackson's fiddling. And I said, why don't we try to make this into a country shuffle? And so we did. And, Dan's doing the 4/4 bass line, and that was really fun. And then we were like, oh, okay, this is going to be the single off the new album for sure.
Well, and it's a great song.
The thing that I love about that song, I have to brag on her, is that there are a lot of really depressing shuffle tunes. And, you know, it's all about heartbreak and sadness and everything. But she wrote that song about her then boyfriend, now husband.
Nice.
And so it was a love song. And it was about something that's happy.
Happy. Yay.
You know, and I was like, I love this. Like, we can still.
Well, speaking of happy, I think people out there are going to be happy to know that you guys are actually going to be playing a show coming up here on October 17th in Farmers Branch for the Bloomin' Bluegrass Festival. So you're going to practice social distancing, but the fact is it's going to be outdoors and it's going to be a chance for people to get together and hear some live music again. So if you guys haven't heard these girls in person, get your tickets, go to the Bloomin' Bluegrass Festival on October 17th, and let them entertain you along with a lot of other great musicians as well.
The lineup at that festival is stacked. It's really good. I was looking at it the other day, and I was like, I am super looking forward to this. Del McCurry's going to be there. Mm-hmm. We grew up playing a lot of bluegrass festivals, and we're not a bluegrass band.
No, I know you're not. You made that very clear in the interview. But you can certainly be in that genre.
We're an all acoustic band, so we fit right in, and it's a change of pace. And plus, gosh, the bluegrass world is incredible. And some of our really good friends, actually, the Purple Hulls, are going to be playing there. They're playing at noon on Saturday, and we're playing at 4:00.
All right, so 4:00 on Saturday, October 17th. You guys check out the Quibi Sisters.
Now I have
So that closes out another show for you today, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. We've got an interesting group next week. Stacy Shoup is on with Mockingbird, and they've got a new record coming out in this next few weeks, so we're going to feature it on our show. And I just love the fact that I get to know all these artists and share them with you. And just be sure to listen to music. Music really does change the way you feel and the way you live, and I know this for me. It brings me back to a peaceful place all the time. I love to just put music on when I feel chaotic in my life and in my day, and it always brings me back to a beautiful place. So I hope that Texas Homegrown Music has done that for you today. I hope you enjoyed getting to know the Quaby sisters and Hulda, what a joy she is. And you guys go support local music. We'll be back next week. For now, love life. Remember, you get out of it what you put into it. Peace out. And thanks again to our sponsors, the Guitar Sanctuary and Tupps Brewery, for making this all possible. Thanks again. It's Maylee Thomas with Texas Homegrown Music.